This meeting is now being recorded.
All right. Hello, Jonathan and friendly staff members. This is the latest and greatest version of the competition and consumer choice subteam of the CCTRT meeting on March 27th, 2018. I'm your host, Jordan Buchanan. I guess before we start, Jonathan, do you have an update to the statement of interest? I hear no answer, so I assume the answer is no. In terms of agenda today, we had two possible items. One was to talk about updates to Recommendation 9 that Wodo had put together. We don't have Wodo, so I don't think we're going to talk about that. And the other item was to talk about the follow-on analysis of the .com versus GTLD endings for the substitution analysis paper. So I would suggest, I think Brenda has forcibly muted Brian, that probably to unmute him.
I think I'm still on. Can you hear me?
Oh, cool. Okay, great. Yeah, because I think this is mostly going to be a conversation with you, so probably makes sense to keep you on the line. All right, so we're talking about the substitution, the two spreadsheets that we had previously put together, that the ICANN staff had previously put together. And I guess just a reminder, one of these looks at, for each TLD, so like dot photography, it looks to see if there's bigshots.photography registered, is bigshots photography .com also registered, or I guess available. Let's see, which direction is
that? Hello.
Oh, looks like we got Wodo on.
Yeah, I'm on now. Hello.
Great. All right. Why don't we do this the other way around then? Let's pause and maybe have a brief discussion about Recommendation 9 and then come back to the discussion around the follow-on projects, if any. Wodo, I guess you had with Jean-Baptiste had sent around the latest documents for Recommendation 9.
Yes.
Do you have any, do you want to sort of introduce the discussion, or is there anything we need to talk about with Recommendation 9?
Yeah, just a couple of things. But first of all, I have to apologize. There might be some background noise as I'm talking because I'm in another meeting in a hotel, and I'm sitting in a room where there's pipe music in the background. So in case you hear something like that, maybe you could just excuse it.
No problem.
And then also, apologies also for being on late. I had given a number, apparently it's unreachable. So this is an alternate number. Okay, I think Lorraine did a very good thing last time, because what I was doing earlier on was just concentrating on the recommendation. But from what she said last time, I think we've kind of added the background text that was backing the recommendation. And I think there are one or two things that I think we need to discuss on this call so that I can see how we can proceed with them. Jean-Baptiste, I think he sent out two documents, the text for the report, and as well as the summary of the public comments.
That's correct.
I'd like to start with those public comments, if I can just open them on my computer here, because I think I need some little bit of guidance from, there were two submissions in the public comments, and I need to agree with the group here how we are going to take those into account with, going forward. The first one is the comment by the International Trademark Association, the INTA. There was this statement that was in the report about the cost of defensive registrations in new GTLDs, and it says defensive registration in new GTLDs appear to be lower than some had feared prior to the inception of the program. Now, the INTA seem to have taken some kind of I don't know how I can put it, not quite in agreement with this statement. And I thought maybe we could discuss it here because if I remember correctly, this particular statement emanated from Jordan. So maybe you can guide us what we should do about the inter comment in the report itself, in the main report. How should we incorporate that, or should we just leave it out?
So I guess I would say we could do one of two things. Number one, procedurally, we could just ignore it because they're not actually, that statement was in the original draft report. It's not new. It doesn't relate to any of the changes in the supplemental report. So procedurally, we could probably just ignore it. And that's because we told people to only comment on the new material. Having said that,
maybe before you go forward, if you say we ignore it, what they are saying is that it does not appear to be supported, which is rather strong because it does not appear to be supported. So if we leave a statement there which somebody is saying is not supported, do you think we are fulfilling our data-driven work?
Right. Well, so I was gonna suggest in the other approach. So I think procedurally, like if we were a court, we would just ignore it. We would say, like, you guys are too late. You should have said that last time when we asked for comments on that particular text. But, you know, we're not a court, so we can make up whatever rules we want, I guess. And, like, the other approach is we could just add a footnote to that statement and give an example of the types of statements that people give. I think we tried to find these before, and, like, we're having a rough time.
Jordan, I think you're talking very fast. I need to hear that second option that you're saying about adding a footnote. Maybe just repeat it.
We could add a footnote citing some of the apocalyptic statements that were made prior to the introduction of the GCLD about how companies would be spending millions of dollars with defensive registrations or the like. I think we made a brief attempt prior to the publication of the draft report to identify some of those previous hyperbolic statements, and I think we didn't come up with anything, but it should be possible if we think it's worth the effort.
But can we concentrate our editor of the text just to this comment of Inter. We forget about the other apocalyptic statements and so on. Just this one of Inter. If we read it, it says the statement that the pardon.
But Inter saying that
it misses the underlying issue on what costs are being incurred and how they compare to any benefits that might accrue from a further expansion of new GTLDs. Is there any way we can?
The second statement is true, right? Like the entire premise of the entire CCT review is that we're trying to weigh
this statement of Inter, you feel it's not true.
Well, there's two statements they make, right? The first statement is that the statement that the costs are not as high as people had predicted, that is not substantiated. I think that is a true statement. We did not substantiate that. And then they make another statement, which is, you guys don't make any effort to relate costs to benefits. And I think that's wrong. I think that's the entire thing that we're doing throughout the entire report. So I think they make one statement that's true and one statement that's false.
So the one that's not true, can I edit later and leave it out? Sorry, there's an echo.
I would defer to Jonathan, but I would say we don't need to do anything to address a statement saying that we're not trying to relate the costs to the benefits. That's just a silly statement, I think.
Okay. Now, the other submission was by the business constituency. They wanted us to add something to the text to the effect that defensive registrations do not promote either consumer choice or competition. They are simply a sunk cost of no benefit to the DNS, the market, or the end user. Can we agree to add some text, that I can add some text and to what we had in the main report earlier on?
I mean, I think we already say that. I'm just scanning through the text right now.
I would suggest if we are to add some text, it could be on page 3, just before the paragraph that starts, in addition to defensive registrations.
Oh, yeah. Hold on a second. I really thought we had some text about trademark defensive registrations being a sunk cost, but I totally can't find it.
Not in this particular text that Jean-Baptiste sent out. There isn't.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan, I don't know, like, I don't know if you have a perspective on, like, neither of these comments address anything new. Like, I don't really have a problem reflecting them because they're both reasonable statements, but they're also, like, procedurally, like, these both have been totally reasonable comments to make in response to the draft report as well.
Right.
So do you think I can look for some text to reflect this comment from the business constituency? Some additional text that probably some stakeholders after going through the inter report, the inter survey, feel that some registrations, some defensive registrations do not promote either consumer trade.
Yeah, I guess we could view this as a reaction to the inter survey. I mean, it is true that I think we agree that defensive registrations are not useful. So I think it's fine to add a statement like that.
We can make a statement like that. So I'll add something.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right. I'll add something, then we can agree the actual text later. Now, there's another thing.
I'll separately look and then see if I can find a footnote to add to the
On the as much as feared thing? Or?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like it was Sony that testified about that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sony testified, but there's a bunch of, like CADNA published a bunch of, like, papers and press releases. Like, there's endless people. We could probably get public comments from ICANN of, like, both public comments and, like, public forum statements of, like, how the new GCLD program was going to destroy the Internet. there was endless hyperbolic discussion prior to the program about how it would destroy trademark holders. So it shouldn't be that hard to find something. Seems like a reasonable thing for us to do.
Okay. Hello, Jordan, are you still online?
Yeah, I'm here. So it sounds like the next steps here are you're going to try to fit in some text about how defensive registrations are useless and a sunk cost. Not sure sunk cost.
I'll do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then separately, I will try to find one or more people saying ridiculous things prior to the GCLD program launch.
Hey, this is Brian. Can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say on finding the hyperbolic statement, domainmondo.com.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of echo. I can't hear anything.
Yeah. Can I ask everyone to mute their lines if they're not talking, please? Thank you. Go ahead, Brian.
Domainmondo.com, which is, I believe, John Poole's website, kind of has all of that hyperbole almost as a list in a way if you kind of scour his website. So just a little pointer.
Great. Thanks, Brian. I'll take a look there.
Sure.
All right. So it sounds like we've got clear next steps there. Anything else? Any other questions or comments on Recommendation 9, Wodo?
Yeah, this main report also, that last paragraph of the main report, it's talking about the blocking services, eh? Then it says that although we expect to obtain more information prior to the publication of our final report, is there some activity that we're going to do to fulfill what is said in that final paragraph there? To get more information about blocking services, or should we eliminate that?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any ongoing data collection efforts around that. So it's probably good to edit that to say something different than it says right now.
So we can eliminate that. We can remove that.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you. I think that's all for me.
Okay. All right, so let's move on then to the discussion about the follow-up project related to substitution analysis. Actually, it's good timing. It's good to have this other document open because our previous text about these reports is in the trademark analysis, the CCT. Oh, no, it's not the CCT, the trademark part. It's in the CCTRT analysis part of the text around consumer choice that Jean-Baptiste sent around prior to the call. And in particular, what page is this? 1, 2, 3. On the third page of that document, you can see what we found from these existing spreadsheets. Which is that 82% of registrations and new GTLDs had identical matches in .com. So if you registered example.tld, then you could have gotten example.com. And that mostly, I think, just tells us that .com is pretty full. And so a lot of people would try to go get example.com. They couldn't get it, so they would get example that something else. Although it looks like that's highly variable, right? Depending on probably what type of registrations people were getting. And we say in particular some of the TLDs, 32 of the top 414 at the time were 99% or more were in .com, so it's a lot. But there were a few GTLDs that had hardly any, or that had less than half of their second level domains next in .com. Anyways, I'm not sure that we're going to do anything more useful with that. And then we look to see if we combine, this is the Big Shots photography example. We took Big Shots, bigshots.photography, and instead, we looked for, was bigshotsphotography.com available? We found that 92% of the time, you could have gotten bigshotsphotography.com, even though you registered bigshots.photography. And so I guess, like, this, Jonathan, this is the point that the USG made, which is like, okay, that's fine for bigshots.photography. Bigshotsphotography.com is probably a reasonable substitute for bigshots.photography. But bigshots.xyz, no one is probably going to register bigshotsxyz.com because that doesn't make any sense. And so the question, the previous question posed to Brian is roughly, could we look and see, separate out the TLDs that are generic, for like XYZ, where it's just like, you wouldn't expect people to be registering Big Shots XYZ, or Big Shots Top, or Big Shots VIP, probably, .com. VIP is like a questionable one. And so those are bad endings to use for this analysis, whereas like photography or taxi or accountant, or LLP are probably reasonable things that people would register at the end of their domains in .com. The question is, can we, and then Brian, you've said, yeah, we could do that, but it will take a long time and a lot of effort. So do you really, really want that? So I guess the idea today is to talk about, is there some narrower version of that analysis that would still be useful? And I think on the last week's leadership call, we discussed at least two approaches. One would be the total sort of anecdotal approach, like we could just randomly choose two or three in each category and compare the numbers and see if it's useful at all. Actually, we could probably do that on this call. And the other is to maybe just figure out, like I suggested, just like, let's just do that analysis, but only for the top 20 or top 50 TLDs or something. Limit the scope that way. And then I don't know, Jonathan or Brian, if you guys have had any more thoughts over the past few days, or Wodo, if you've any thoughts on how we could get similar, we could get some sort of useful result here without making the staff crunch away for weeks and weeks at figuring this problem out.
I wish I could say I had some brilliant idea, but I don't. I've tried to sort of sketch it out, Jordan, and try to just list, you know, the top 50 TLDs, just sort of on the back of a envelope type thing, and see how we could possibly tease out examples to compare with .com. And I just don't see how to even do that part to kind of select which ones we want. Already, it sort of becomes a fairly significant exercise. We can certainly run a different sort of data filtering if we need to. If there's a way we can think of that might be useful. But I can't think of anything very very clever to do that. And I'm happy to also schedule like a dedicated brainstorm meeting too. I guess that's what we're doing here. But that's about all I have.
Yeah, let's just consider this meeting as our dedicated brainstorm meeting. So the one idea I had just right on the call, which I think is totally statistically invalid because it creates a bad sample bias problem, is like, why don't we just look at the TLDs that if you look for that ending in .com is really common in .com, because that would show that people wanted to get, like that was a good ending that people would want to put on their domains. But then that's like the exact thing we're filtering for later on. So of course, like that's not a very helpful, like of course the domain, the TLDs we selected that way would have a lot of registrations in .com relative to ones that we didn't select that way.
Right.
So that seems like a bad experiment. So my inclination might be just to try to do this anecdotally then. It might be helpful. We could probably just pull up the spreadsheets right now and just like, we could just like shut out a few and see if the data looks at all interesting. And if so, we could just put some anecdotes in. Just like we sort of do in a couple places already, like with the Chinese TLDs or whatever, we just sort of say, we looked at a few TLDs and here's what we saw. And it's not that meaningful, but it sort of shows an interesting pattern that other people might want to look at more.
Right. I mean, I picked photography and pizza because they were, or sorry, not pizza, photography. Let me start over. It's early. I picked .xyz and .photography because they were sort of
semantic versus non-semantic. So I was looking for sort of a kind of juxtaposition or dyadic type relationship. And maybe there's others like that we could do. What was that?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can convince LibreOffice to do a sort really quick. Woohoo, I did it. All right, so I guess I want to see a percent, too. So just to be clear, I'm looking at existing registrations in COM against new GTLDs. This is the one that shows if the domain of the XYZ registrations, what fraction of them was like big shots XYZ. So looking at the row for XYZ, there's 6,596,956 total registrations. You know what the difference between these two columns are, Brian? COM names any in GTLD and COM names registered in GTLD?
I've had to read that about 1,000 times too. So you're looking at the names ending .com names ending with GTLD would be Big Shots Photography XYZ.com.
Okay, right. So of the 6 million, only 354 were registered in the form. If Big Shots XYZ was registered, only 354 out of the 6.5 million XYZs had that form in .com, which is totally unsurprising because XYZ is nonsense, and why would you put it at the end of your .com name, right?
Exactly.
So XYZ certainly makes the U.S. government's point, and we could talk about that anecdotally. This is going to be some tiny fraction of a percent. Is here. And then...
I mean, if I could just throw some interpretation on that, I mean, it just points to how perhaps, it's sensical to say this, but, you know, the semantic meaning of the TLD has an influence on sort of how in demand it is, right? And you could probably surmise that the market share being taken away from .com is divided mostly among new GTLDs with some kind of semantic meaning, you know, generic new GTLDs with some kind of semantic meaning, like the .account, I think you mentioned. So those tend to be good to look at. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I've just been doing some copy pasting. But we go down the list. All these top ones are actually pretty. So club might be one that you would think that someone might register.
Well, aren't there two different types of competition too? I mean, in one case, it's because there's a word I want and it's not available in .com, and then I might get it in .xyz, that just the same second level domain because it's a word that I want. And in the other case, it's somebody placing a value on a semantic top level domain. Go ahead. Sorry,
I'm just clarifying. So either you want a word in .com but you can't get it, or you like that semantic meaning of the new GTLD.
That's right.
Okay.
So you're going to see a different type of competition coming from .xyz, which is a more direct substitute. And obviously, I mean, if you look at XYZ and just see is that same domain name in .com, there's probably going to be a high proportion of them. And in the other case, it's because you value the semantics, right? That was the original notion, was that, you know, Big Shots Photography is more interesting than BigShotsPhotography.com, because it's that whole, you know, we prefer a semantic web concept. But the people registering .xyz are far more likely to be not choosing it over concatenation, but just choosing like if JonathanZook.com wasn't available, then I would try and get JonathanZook.xyz.
Right.
So it's two different types of competition, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. I'm confused by some of these numbers. No, I'm confused. No, I'm totally confused. So I guess we're agnostic. So Brian, looking at some of the ones with low registration numbers, Mini. It has 28 registrations in the GTLD, but then the second column C is 618. So I'm presuming we didn't actually look to see, we weren't doing a match of, is the name registered in Mini? Just looking at all the .coms with Mini as an end, right? It's not looking for a match of, was the particular name in .mini registered in .com? Is that right?
Right, so it would be...
Must.
So there would be 618 names in .com that would be, you know, examplemini.com. There's 600, and there are zero names, which would be example.mini.
Okay, right. Okay, so I guess is the column D then the ones that are... Oh, and column D then is the ones that are registered in .mini and are also registered in .com. Is that right?
That's right.
Like, really,
it took me about half a day to figure that out, but yeah. Yes.
Woohoo, it only took me like 20 minutes. All right. Hold on. I need to recompute my numbers. Just give me 1 second here. But to your earlier point, Jonathan, I totally agree with Jonathan. I'm just wondering if we can look at what the extremes around this look like. Are there particular TLDs that people are really opting for the semantic version versus the .com is full and you think it's something else instead?
Yeah, Brian, what is this that you... In the example you found, it was only 50% for a dot photography, right?
Right. I think it was 60%, and then for .xyz, it was 99% availability.
Well, right. So that's of the concatenation. So in other words,
there
is almost by definition going to be a high percentage available concatenated version of a TLD. For a nonsensical one than a semantic one.
Right.
But 60% still feels like a pretty high number.
Yeah.
It's just not
60% looks like,
it's not 92% or whatever.
60 right. Definitely looks like to the end. Hold on, let me just sort by. I guess I should have copied this in the Google Docs so we could all see what I was doing, but I made a column, which is the percent. Now I'm going to sort by that to find anything interesting. Data sort based on column E. You want it ascending.
Hey,
Jonathan, can I ask you a quick question while Jordan's doing that?
Of course.
Because, you know, in this, section that, Wado sent around, that we were just reading where we said, oh, this is kind of useful to have up. I mean, it seems like this is also a kind of substitution analysis in and of itself, or at least the sort of scratching the surface of it. It seems like your, section, would be kind of, would fit here well, and it would kind of build out the substitution section. It's just sort of a thought. I don't know where we're exactly.
As far as where to put it, you mean, or?
Yeah.
I don't know which document of Wado's that you're talking about. I need to go back and.
Was that Wado's that we were?
So this the one on consumer choice that John Baptiste sent around.
Yeah, just this morning. Yeah, just now.
Yeah. Yeah. It has a relationship with the substitute issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great sort of literature review of substitution, and then, you know,
yes.
What Jonathan said, more of the details. Just something to think about. Maybe they'd work close together.
Yes, you are suggesting we can think of a way of combining
Okay. It's just a thought. It might be something to help us to make it look bigger, like a bigger substitution analysis. It's all kind of together.
So if we limit ourselves to column D, which we must not have done last time we ran these numbers, which seems like actually the right number, there's basically all of the domains registered in GCLDs would have been available .com. It's much higher than 92%, actually. There's three CLDs that are 75%, because they have four registrations and one of them's in .com. but other than that, the next lowest number is 90%, and that's for 85%. 83 and 85% for SAP doesn't really count. That's a brand. Arte is 85%. Only 7 registrations. The first one that has significant registrations is .cash with 5,972. 96% of those are available in .com. Essentially all of the, and then when I sum up column D and divide it by column B, it's 100. I mean, it's like, to the significant digits that LibreOffice is showing me, it is 100%.
But, Jordan, I haven't gone back and checked the numbers, but I thought that Brian found that, like, dot photography was only, like, 6.
I think he must have been looking at column C, not column D. So that's, he was looking at, like, how many domains. Yeah, how many domains in .com end with .photography, regardless of whether or not they're registered? So photography is like a pretty common, like, using that as a percent is just wrong, because you can have more registrations in .com than are registered in .photography. That's the one that gives some indication of, like, is that a really popular ending in .com? And it turns out .photography it probably is, but if you look at the fraction that are actually registered, it's like a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction. Almost everyone that's registering a dot photography could have gotten their .com. Unless I'm misunderstanding the data. So it'd be good for Brian to double check that. But that's what my spreadsheet jockeying shows me. It shows me that we did it wrong last time.
So, Jordan, I'm sorry. Could you just say that one more time? So everyone registering a dot photography based on the number probably could have gotten a dot com is what you're saying. And what is that based on, or how did you arrive at that?
So I divided column B by column B.
We're just looking at column B
versus column B, right? So everyone that registered, like Jonathan got bigshots.photography and he could have gotten bigshots.photography.com because bigshotsphotography.com was not registered. And I think that's true for essentially everyone that registered in a new GTLD. Not everyone. There's 67 out of, let me look at the total numbers. Out of 24 million new GTLD registrations, 67,000 of them wouldn't have been available getting the combination in .com.
Gotcha. Okay.
So essentially everyone, not quite everyone, but essentially everyone registering a new GTLD could have gotten their thing, that like the string that they registered, .com. I almost feel, I think we should just publish our, we should double check that math. And then we should probably just republish and we should say, oops, we were wrong. And DOJ doesn't even matter. Like, you choose whatever TLD you want, XYZ or .cash, and it's still essentially everyone. So our point still holds up.
I guess their point, if I understand it correctly, is that the percentage of registrations where that fact is relevant is low.
Sure, but I guess I'm saying it doesn't, like, you can look at any, so sure, that is a fair statement. And it's because, I mean, in order to do this analysis properly, we'd have to do what Brian was suggesting earlier, right? Which is like, go find all the TLDs that have semantic endings and add up the total registrations in those. And that would represent that class of people that are looking for the more semantic meaning. And would tell us like the scope of like that kind of competition, right? And then the generic ones would represent the other kind where people are just like, oh, I either don't want or can't get my .com. I'm just going to get this other generic ending instead, right? Or it's like a better deal. Whatever. There's some reason, but they're not particularly motivated by like saying like, oh, what I really wanted was a more semantic TLD, right?
Right.
And like, I guess my point is like, it totally doesn't matter, right? Like for both classes of users, they could have gotten the .com and they chose not to for some reason.
Right. They could have gotten the concatenated.com.
That's right. They couldn't, like, you couldn't have gotten bigshots.com, but you totally could have gotten bigshotsphotography.com, which was the
That's
only
right.
point we were trying to make this place, right?
And, right. And they're just saying that particular statistic is biased by the fact that the most popular TLDs, that statistic isn't relevant. That the larger number of people are fall into the looking for an alternative. I mean, I guess we could say it doesn't matter because there's two types of competition, and the people that were looking for the word that was already taken are getting that as well. But I feel like their point was not to question our statistics, but instead to say, who cares whether or not bigshotsxyz.com was available.
Well, I guess either way, it's a substitute, right? Right? If someone's like, I can't get my .com, I'm going to buy an XYZ instead, that's a direct substitute.
That's right.
Right?
So that may be the point, I guess. That's the point to make.
I guess in reaction to, I guess my takeaway is they were right. It was dumb to conflate XYZ and dot photography because, like, people would have different behaviors around those two TLDs.
Right.
Having gone back to look at the numbers, we were totally wrong the first time. It's not 8% were available. It was essentially 100%. I mean, 8% were already taken in .com. It was like essentially 0%. And B, it doesn't matter what TLD you look at, even the most semantic of the TLDs. It's not like there's a big difference between the XYZs and the dot photographies. It's essentially everyone choosing a domain and a new GTLD could have gotten the concatenation. And for whatever reason, they chose, either because they don't want the concatenation because it doesn't make any sense, or because they don't want the concatenation because they want the more semantic web. Either way, they're like making the choice to, you know, they could have gotten the concatenation in .com and they're choosing not to. And I totally agree that doesn't make sense with XYZ, but regardless of what TLD you choose, a general statement holds up. And we don't need to like do a bunch more analysis to like figure out what the difference between the generics and the semantic ones are, because the number is essentially 100% for both classes.
I think it's starting to sink in for me, Jordan, what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying is accurate. I just want to make sure that we're sort of taking their point on directly. I mean, in some ways, we're just trying to make a cute point because,
Yeah, no, and I think it's fine to acknowledge it even and just be like, oh, we did our math wrong. Like, A, you made a good point. We did our math wrong. Doesn't matter. But we take your point anyways. And then we could also say, for people that are getting to XYZ, you're totally right. Those people would never have registered blah, 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 XYZ.com. But those people are actually the ones looking for a direct substitute for .com, right?
Right, that's right.
And so it's true, like, probably the majority, if we look at the top, like, 10 different TLDs, I mean, it's hard to say, right? Like, without doing the analysis that Brian's suggesting, which is actually, like, going through TLD by TLD and trying to make a determination, we actually can't say what's driving the bulk of registrations, because there's, like, this big long tail of TLDs driving a bunch of registrations, and maybe they're mostly the semantic ones, right? Like, the top few are all the generic ones, but that would make sense, because the generic ones, like, if you want to get a dot photography, only photographers are going to want to get that, whereas anyone can register an XYZ. So it makes sense XYZ has a lot more registrations than dot photography. But does the sum of, you know, 500 specialized TLDs add up to more than XYZ? I literally have no clue.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's good to sort of present that puzzle, you know, kind of, oh, here's the numbers we found. We can't quite figure this out. Save it for the next review team or some independent researcher. Because it's an interesting puzzle. We don't have the explanation, really.
Yeah, exactly. So Jonathan, I don't know. I don't think there's anything more for ICANN to do. I guess, like, the one thing ICANN could possibly do, Brian, do you have any sense if you wanted to regenerate these spreadsheets just to update the numbers? Would that be a lot?
I think we could do that fairly quickly. I just need to talk to our technical services team who did it. But I think I'm thinking by next week, probably more like end of next week, I'd have to check with them. But see what their workload is.
I mean, if that's easy, I might say just do that, and then if we're gonna touch the numbers again, we might as well get fresh ones.
Especially if we're gonna correct our numbers.
Yeah, exactly. But other than that, I don't think there's anything for ICANN to do. And then Jonathan, I can take a stab at writing. Not until next week, unfortunately. This week is crazy for me, but I can take a stab at writing some text around this.
Okay. So do you hold the pen on the substitution analysis right now, then?
I guess so. Assuming you don't want to make any edits between now and next week.
All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I think the primary thing was just kind of rewriting something Brian wrote that felt misleading. But if you're going to take a shot at that section, then I won't.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. So I guess I would say feel free to make any edits you want between now and Friday or Sunday.
Okay.
Starting on Monday, I'll take the pen and try to make some edits.
All right. Sounds good.
And feel free to reject my insertions in that spreadsheet now that we figured out our math is off.
Sure.
Well, please do. There you go. Okay, I'll get in touch with their services today and see what they tell me. I'll let you know.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Brian. All right, we're at time. Any other topics, or otherwise we'll wrap up?
Nope.
All right, thanks everyone for joining. This was a productive and enlightening discussion, and we'll look for, I guess there's, I don't know if we're going to need a competition call next week because we probably won't have done much, but maybe in 2 weeks we'll have another one of these, and I think maybe there'll be a plenary call next week. I'm not sure.
Do we have a plenary tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
Super Trust tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone. I will talk to you later.
Okay. Thanks, all.
Bye.
Bye.